From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. More Idaho Matters right now. Author Annabelle Monahan is back with her newest novel, Same Time Next Summer. And I have to say, it's a perfect summer beach read. And we are lucky enough to have Annabelle joining us today to talk more. Welcome to the program.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
Okay, so first off, give us a brief synopsis of this new novel.
Okay, so it is the story of 30-year-old Sam Holloway, who returns to her parents' beach house with her fiance to look at a wedding venue. And when she gets there, she finds that the boy who broke her heart when she was a teenager is now living next door. And he is no longer a boy. He's a fully grown man with a guitar.
Oh, you had to throw the guitar in there, right?
I really did, because there is something about a man with a guitar. Anyway, so the story goes back and forth in time between what happened with them as teenagers and what's happening with them now, and how this sort of blow up of their relationship affected all of their families.
Well, so what's interesting, too, is I think how it impacted Sam so much, even when you let's fast forward, what, almost 15 years to the present day when she's 30 years old, looking at this wedding venue. And she's so, kind of buttoned up, and she's so doesn't want to let any emotion in. And she feels like, if she does that, then there won't be any more surprises in life.
Yes.
Did you take that from personal experience, or is it something where you've seen in other people? Because I have to say, I know people like that.
I've seen this a lot in my real life, but it's the first time I ever saw it when it really struck me is when I was a little kid and I was watching The Philadelphia Story.
Ah.
Have you seen that movie?
Yeah.
So Katharine Hepburn, her marriage breaks up. And Cary Grant has broken her heart, and she goes off into the world and returns home as this sort of icy woman who is very hard and very guarded and is never going to have her heart broken again. And for some reason, as a kid, that really struck me.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's also talk about some of, I think, I don't want to say minor characters, but those supporting characters in the novel. I love Sam's grandparents so much.
Me too.
So where did you get, this is multi-generational. So it's not just Sam and, she's back at her parents' house. I mean, you created these other two characters of her grandparents. Why make the book so multi-generational?
Well, a family, I've spent a long time, I grew up in a family and now I'm raising a family. A family is like an organism. It really is a living thing. And it's so much more than just like the sum of the people that are in it. And I always think generationally, it's interesting because the parents are the people who are sort of watching carefully to see what are going to happen to their children. The grandparents have all sorts of wisdom and distance. And actually, things aren't as loaded with grandparents. They can just say it, call it like they see it. And I think that putting all those players together is just a really interesting way to look at a family.
Yeah, I would agree. I don't know about you, but I'm raising children in the midst of it, and it is not for the faint of heart. And I have a teenager all of a sudden, and
yep.
So. The way you have to try to communicate with them, and are you gonna say the right thing? Because one day you might, then the next day you'd say the same thing, and it was not taken the same way, and it's like a minefield, right?
No, it is. It is. It's like a minefield. It is, and you have to just. And sometimes you get so paranoid about the words you choose that you don't say anything at all.
Yeah. And I think what's interesting in the book is that you kind, at least for me, I kind of get that sense with Sam's parents. I mean, they're very free and especially how they are as they become their summer people characters.
Yep.
But at the same time, Sam's grandparents are just, they're so funny. Like they're just so funny, but I think it's because they just have no filter anymore and don't care to have one.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that stage of life, by the way.
Oh, just, my husband talks about it all the time.
I lose my filter. Everybody better watch out.
And then you have Sam's younger sister, which I have to say, when you introduced her in the book, it took me, like, I had to go back and kind of read it. I was like, wait, how young is she? Because I expected her to maybe be, you know, like in her 20s, but she's a tween, basically. And they have a really interesting dynamic and how she moves through the book as well. So was that something that you thought, well, I know I want her to have a younger sister, but why such a big age gap?
Well, you haven't gotten into the point of the book where that will make sense to you.
Okay.
So there is a plot reason why her sister needs to be 12 years old. And so that made sense for the story. But what I thought was interesting while I was writing is, if you remember being 12 years old, you are leaving mm-hmm. something behind and going to a new thing. And it is a huge transition to be on the verge of being a teenager and just moving into that phase of life. And it sort of mirrors the way Sam is 30 years old and she is moving into getting married. And mm-hmm. that is a huge transition and a big stage of life. And I kind of liked watching them both sort of watch each other make that transition. Mm-hmm. I thought it worked well.
So let's also talk about the location, because I think you almost make the location of the book another character. And is the, I mean, do you have you spent time in that area? I would assume that, I mean, you know, maybe you've summered, you know, on the beach out east, because it definitely just, I really loved how you just weaved this beach life into the book and really added flavor to it.
So I live outside of New York City, in Westchester, New York. Mm-hmm. And I basically summer at home. I do not go someplace for the summer. But I grew up in Los Angeles. My childhood basically took place at the beach, Santa Monica Beach, mm-hmm. right off the Pacific Coast Highway is where I went every single day. So a lot of those beach feelings came from there. But I have spent time out in Long Island. My sister has a house in Long Island. And there mm-hmm. is something about the beach there and the way the dunes line the sand that feels so romantic to me. Mm-hmm. It's almost like the dunes are blowing and welcoming you to the ocean. It's absolutely gorgeous. But the place, the town that I write about does not exist. So it's a made up town. I usually try to make up a town so that I don't get the actual town wrong and insult people.
Yeah, then you have so many people emailing you and texting you that you did it wrong.
Exactly. No, this street doesn't run north-south. It runs east-west. What are you talking about?
Yeah, get it right. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your favorite part about writing this book and bringing it to life?
You know, I learned a lot about writing when I was writing this book. And I wrote it in a lot of different ways. I wrote it in third person and first person and from Sam's perspective and Wyatt's perspective and back and forth in time. And I sliced up the time in a lot of different ways. I wrote a tremendous amount of backstory that never made it into the book, except for just tiny little facts. And I really loved the process of going through it. It was a really fascinating experiment in writing. And what I really learned about writing while doing this is you can't waste your time. There's every time you do another draft, something improves. And it really gave me a lot of, I don't know, faith in the process of writing.
So it's interesting to me when you talk about all of these drafts, right, of writing a book, because I hear that and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I could go back and rewrite something, you know, once, let alone two or three times. But is that kind of part of the creative process for you? Is that, you know, maybe that first draft is kind of just like put pen to paper and see what happens, and then we develop from there?
Yeah. And for me, that's the joy of it. For me, the joy is writing the first draft and getting to the end of the first draft and then saying, oh, I know who these characters are now, and then going back and starting over again. I actually like writing. So that's like lucky for me, because I do a lot of it. So I actually like the process of writing, And I like discovering things and sort of surprising myself along the way. So, and I'm also not so precious with my words that I don't mind throwing them out. You know, when I'm writing a draft, I just write. I don't go back and fix language.
Okay, that makes sense. So,
yeah.
What's in that? What's next for you? Because I, you know, as I'm learning, as I talk with more and more authors, is it's not like all of a sudden you wrote this book last week and you're talking to me. So, you did this a while ago. So what's next for you?
So I am finishing my June 2024 novel. So the book that comes out next summer, and that is called Summer Romance. And it is about a professional organizer whose life is a total mess. And she's trying to get out from under it and lighten things up a bit and decides to have a summer romance.
Oh. Well, I have to say, I am loving this book. It's that perfect beach summer read that I think you can just, you know, use your imagination and take yourself away to the beach, even if you're in your house. So thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to talk with you. Oh, our pleasure. Absolutely. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.